Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stories, well, causing some to scratch their heads and others to simply dismiss it as no big deal. The Boy Scouts have made the decision. This is the latest in a long series of decisions over the last 5 years or so. The latest is to admit girls. That probably would have made a pretty good joke maybe 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, at least a setup for a joke. I don't know how the punchline would go. Boy Scouts decide to admit girls, but there are a lot of people who don't consider it a joke at all, but in fact a symptom of, well, a greater ill in society. We're going to be talking about the Boy Scouts' decision to admit girls. Dr. Andrew Walker joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He's Director of Policy Studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, author of the book God and the Transgender Debate, and a recent column for Public Discourse titled The Merit Badge of Surrender, How the Boy Scouts of America Are Succumbing to the Gender Revolution. Dr. Walker, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me on.
You say that this decision to admit girls into the Boy Scouts was inevitable. How so?
Well, we're living in a day and age where making gender distinctions at all is increasingly controversial. It's against the mainstream. And the latest move of the Boy Scouts, it follows sequentially from prior policy changes they've had in their membership. A few years ago, they made the decision to allow same-sex attracted or homosexual identifying scouts in their membership, which they had long prohibited. Then they followed that up with allowing gay scout leaders. And then most recently, they've also allowed for transgender identifying students to join their membership. And the common theme in all of this is once you downplay the significance of the complementarity of the sexes or the binary of the sexes that God made humanity in male and female forms, you lose the ability to kind of withstand society's kind of androgynous move, the desire to kind of downplay all sex distinctions together and comprehensively. And so this is just kind of the next plank of the gender revolution, because we're moving in that direction where, again, making gender distinctions or making distinctions based on the biological differences of males and females is being considered hateful and bigoted and using power to suppress someone else. And so it's just a logical outworking of what the Boy Scouts have been doing for several years now.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, yes, they're admitting girls, but they're still going to segregate boys and girls in the actual implementation of the scouting, so it's not that big of a deal? What's your response to that?
I would say that the Boy Scouts are actually being hypocritical, and they're actually end up reaffirming the importance of the gender binary in a reverse kind of way, because what they're doing in that particular instance is they're saying, yes, there is something that we cannot suppress about the difference between males and females. And so we're going to allow males and females and boys and girls into our membership. But from that point forward, we are then going to segregate boys from girls, which, again, is recognizing the gender binary and sex differentiation between males and females. But that calls into question why you would have a program that's still called the Boy Scouts, which, again, they're dropping that title. And then secondly, it undermines an organization, the Girl Scouts. I mean, the Girl Scouts are an organization that are fighting against this latest policy move because it's going to undermine their own membership. And so at the end of the day, the Boy Scouts are kowtowing to political correctness and in the process actually reaffirming the fact that boys and girls and males and females are different.
Why are and have been sex-segregated organizations important in the fabric of American society?
Sex segregation is simply the recognition that boys and girls and males and females are different. We're down to the level of our chromosomes. We're different at the anatomical level, at the physiological level, and at the emotional level. And sex distinction and sex segregation, whether that is in bathrooms, whether that's in organizations, or whether that's in sports, it's simply recognizing that common sense difference that all of human civilization has acknowledged. But I think more importantly, it helps us actually achieve true equality. When we allow girls to compete against girls and boys to compete against boys, what we're doing is we're actually saying we want boys and girls to play on equal level playing fields. And we all know that it's unfair and it actually creates inequality when you put a boy up against a girl in an athletic competition. And just recently, this is why one of the International Track and Field Associations passed a new regulation pertaining to intersex athletes, that they won't allow biological males who are intersex at some level to compete against other females. And why is that? Because they recognize there's a natural physical prowess that men possess, namely testosterone when it relates to athletic competition, that creates an inequality and an advantage for men and a disadvantage for women. And so that's just one manifestation. But when you look at an institution like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, it's simply recognizing that it's good for boys to be around boys as they are maturing into manhood and into adulthood. And the same is true for women. And this is not to disparage women. It's not to disparage boys. And it's not to say that men are capable of virtues that women are not. I think we're all equally capable of virtues of courage and patriotism and leadership. When we make distinctions based on sex, we're simply saying that it's good for members of the like similar sex to be around one another in order to allow those virtues to develop in a uniquely masculine or uniquely feminine way.
I've often wondered this. What is the end game here? Not on the part of the Boy Scouts, because I think they're simply being carried along by a tide or a current here in society, albeit willingly. But the move to erase the distinction between male and female, it can't simply be an end in itself. There must be an end game at work here. What do you think it is?
That's a good question. It's somewhat of a difficult question at the same time. Because it's hard to predict, you know, kind of where progressive activists want to take this particular line of thinking. But what I think it ends up in is this kind of an androgynous society where any type of distinction between male and female is considered retrograde or a form of bigotry and discrimination. And so I think this kind of contributes to kind of a mass sameness. And I think that's problematic because you can only suppress natural distinctions for so long before there's some type of reaction to that. I'm reminded there was a tweet from Robert George, who's a professor at Princeton. He said that ordinary authoritarians are content to forbid people from speaking truths, but he said totalitarians insist on forcing people to speak untruths. And so that's one of the concerns I have around this particular episode is that the totalitarian impulse around gender is you have voices who want to say that it is improper to acknowledge any type of sex difference. And when you, that's an act of suppression and it's forcing people to believe untruths. And the natural, I believe Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, truth at stake here is the fact that God made males and females different. He made them equal, but he made them different in, again, their chromosomal, their physiological, anatomical capacities. And so I think ultimately this is an assault on both the body. I think it's an assault on reason. And I also think it's an assault on God's general revelation that he's given us in creation of making the sexes distinct.
Dr. Andrew Walker is our guest. We're talking about the Boy Scouts' decision to admit girls into their ranks on this Thursday afternoon, May the 10th. When we come back, we'll talk about the political potentials here. You know, we don't have to speculate. There are entire societies that have been built upon the premise that if the government can make you state what you know to be false as true. They can make you do anything. We'll talk about that with Dr. Andrew Walker right after this.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking about the Boy Scouts' decision to admit girls. Dr. Andrew Walker is our guest director of policy studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Dr. Walker, talk a bit about the political potentials here in a decision like this, not so much with respect to the Boy Scouts narrowly, but the bigger picture of, as you say, trying to androgenize society as a whole. We don't have to speculate. There have been entire societies, tragic failures of societies, that have been built on the premise that if we can make the people speak lies as though they were the truth, we can pretty much make them do anything. How would you describe the political potentials here?
That's a very good point. I think the most problematic consequence of this is it squelches free speech. Inevitably, that has a consequence on religious liberty for any organization that wants to maintain some type of sex distinction in its membership or in its doctrine. But I think also, again, it suppresses natural truth. When we look, I mean, what the scriptures portray of creation is that God has made creation in such a way that it is intelligible. We can discern our place in creation. We can discern an order and a rhythm, a pattern to creation. And we are to live in line with that pattern and to live in accordance with that rhythm, because that's where human flourishing is found, both on an individual level and on a social level. And when we, as a society, contradict creation and contradict general revelation, you end up, again, doing damage to the individual and damage to society, because you're suppressing natural truths. And you cannot do that for long without there being some type of reaction of nature to what nature truly is. And I think, again, I mean, we're talking about males and females in this context, but at an even deeper level, there's a metaphysical debate, and we're asking the question metaphysically of what type of world and creation do we live in? Do we live in one where there is an innate objective, discernible moral order to the universe, or do we live in a creation that is simply kind of ex nihilo according to human will and human autonomy? So I think we have to kind of pick and choose. Do we live in a created reality, or do we live in a reality that we ourselves create and manufacture based on individual autonomy and the principles of consent? And I'm going to choose what the scriptures portray as us being creatures, that we are not the creator, that we are not sovereign, and that our true fulfillment is found living in accordance with God's design for humanity. And that's true not just for Christians, but of humans. So humans can live truthfully in accordance with general revelation, and that doesn't mean they're necessarily even being Christian. It means they're just being truly human as God designed them.
There will be those who say, look, this is a test, a trial balloon. If this can be accomplished through social pressure, an organization, a private organization such as the Boy Scouts, what can we accomplish if we apply the pressure of the state in organizations that are governmental, like the military? Have we already seen the beginning of these things in the U.S. military?
I think to some degree. I mean, with the announcement, I believe it was under the Obama administration, that certain combat roles would be open to women, I think we are beginning to see, at least at the military level, a downplaying of distinction between the sexes. Now, I think there is reason, there's legitimate debate to be had amongst Christians on the prudence of female combatants. I would not side with position that says it's wise to have female combatants. That's my personal view of kind of how I see male and female difference. So I think there's some level of legitimate debate to be had there. But I think it's just one more plank in this kind of what I'm calling the androgyny ethic. We are moving increasingly in this androgynous direction, which, again, is to downplay all gender and sex distinctions and to say that we're all the same, and then to force that sameness upon a society, were it left to itself, that would allow natural sex distinctions to occur on their own without there being controversy or political correctness around it. So I think this is just, again, another plank. I think it's problematic. It's utterly coercive at the end of the day, because we're asking people to assent to the proposition that there is no distinction between males and females. And there are distinctions. There are ways in which we are all very much the same as humans, made in the image of God, but there are important ways in which we are different. And we want to recognize and praise that difference for how God made us.
How would you respond to someone who says, you know, this is no big deal. This should have happened a long time ago, because the Boy Scouts have for generations given the young men who participated there an opportunity to go out and rough it a bit and learn these virtues and kind of gain some life skills in a controlled environment. And girls need that too. So this isn't such a big deal. It may, in fact, prove in time to be a good move, at least for the girls being allowed to participate.
I don't think that's an altogether bad line of argument, except I would say that we already have that, and it's in the Girl Scouts being one organization and the Boy Scouts being another organization. And as we previously discussed, I mean, even with this new policy, the Boy Scouts are still going to be trying to find ways to make some type of sex distinction, which I'll be interested to see how that actually plays out. But I think, again, we want to recognize that difference. And when you place boys and girls within, you know, a similar proximity to one another, inevitably, those distinctions arise. And at a certain age, you needlessly bring questions of sexuality and sexualization into the conversation. And so I think at this pivotal age of adolescence and development, there's no need to, I mean, kind of sexualize the Scouts. Well, that's inevitably going to happen. I think, again, it's allowing boys to congregate and affiliate with boys, and girls to affiliate and congregate with girls. And we've had that organization binary for decades now, and I don't see a reason for us to have to alter it just because political correctness is kind of the prevailing ethic of our day.
Dr. Andrew Walker is Director of Policy Studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, author of the book God and the Transgender Debate, and a recent column for Public Discourse titled The Merit Badge of Surrender, How Boy Scouts of America Are Succumbing to the Gender Revolution. You can find that book and read his column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Walker, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
In our tour of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about God's growing family. There is that primal command. Is it only a command? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, that is repeated several times in the Genesis account. It's several times after all of humanity, except for one family, has been wiped out in God's judgment, and several times more in the book of Genesis. Is it a command only, or is it also something else? And what bearing does it have upon, well, the life of the church and the expansion of God's family today? Professor Tom Egger will be with us in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. We'll also talk about fatherhood in the Marvel movies with Pastor Ted Geese.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-656. 0043.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.